somewhere at an altar because he's not nowhere around here. So good for you. Good for you. All right, let's see how that works. Is that it? Good enough. Take your Bible, if you will. We're going to be looking over there in the book of Jeremiah. Jeremiah, we're going to be looking there. You can find that. We're going to start out, and I'll tell you, my mind's going so many different directions and all of that business. I don't know where we'll start out, end up, but let's give it a shot, and here we go. Jeremiah chapter number 23. If you find the place, you're able to stand and do so while we look there in this chapter. Notice, if you will, please. Verse 20, and the anger of the Lord shall not return until he have executed, until he have performed the thoughts of his heart. In the latter days ye shall consider it perfectly. Now, here's what that says before we read the next couple of passages. If you ever get God stirred up and on your little tail, he's not going to stop till it satisfies him. Won't do any good to holler, please don't, Daddy, please don't, Mama, please don't, Lord. If you stir God up to where he's going to get on you. Now, that's spooky, isn't it? Verse number next, and if you will, please, he said, verse 21, said, I've not sent these prophets, and yet they ran. I've not spoken to them, and yet they prophesied. But if they have stood in my counsel and caused my people to hear my words, then they should have turned them from their evil way and from the evil of their doings. I want us to preach a little bit tonight, and I want to preach a title entitled, People Who Could Have Turned, People Who Should Have Turned, and People Who Would Not Turn. Now, Father, bless your word to every heart. We do thank you for it and how good it is for all the good singing that we've had. What a blessing that it's been to be in the house of God on this day. We pray you bind the devil, every demon assigned to hinder. We plead the blood of Jesus over this congregation. And we'll thank you in advance for that. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Thank you and be seated. In the Bible lesson that we're looking at, here's what Jeremiah was doing. Jeremiah was preaching to the nation of Israel, and he was telling them they had already crossed the line with God. They were going to go into captivity. And as a result, some people would come along and they would say, no, you're not going to go into captivity. We're going to positive think this thing through. And then God would send a prophet and said, you better not listen to that dreaming, lying prophet. If you don't go into captivity, you're going to die. That's what's going to happen to you. You wouldn't listen to God when you could have. Now it's going to be too late for it. I want to tell you every now and again, you know, God has spoken to people. Remember whenever Joseph and Mary, after she had given birth to the Christ child, God warned him in a dream to take his mother and the child and to flee. Remember that? I want to say to you that, if you will, that when we begin to look into the Bible, you begin to recognize and you begin to realize is that God's word will not return unto him void. And that we'd better know that he's got his eye up on it and that he's going to follow it and that he's going to honor it. He said, O Lord, are not thine eyes on the truth? Now, thou hast stricken them, but they have not grieved. Thou hast consumed them, but they have refused to receive instruction. I hope you'll never get to there. They've made their faces harder than a rock. They have refused to return. You see, our job is to turn people from wrong to right. From being lost to being found. I want to say to you that when you begin to look into it, you'll find that we're supposed to be in the turning business, and that is turning people to the Lord. In this Bible lesson that you're seeing, we're not going to take time to turn there, but over in the book of Acts in chapter number 26 and about verse number 18, this Bible said that we're to open up their eyes, that's what the Lord came for, and to turn them from the power of Satan unto God. Now, you're living under one power or the other tonight. You're either living under the power of the devil and the influence of the devil, or you're either going to live under the power and the influence of the Lord, one of the two. And I want to say to you that, if you will, that I know most of you in this building. Some of you are a little snaky and a little sneaky. I know most of you. But even those that I don't know, God knows you inside and out. That's what my point is. Now, I want to tell you right now is you're never going to make me mad at you, but you're liable to make me get disappointed at you. What a sad thing that is. And I want to tell you right now that whenever you look out into this world that we're living in, you're going to find the only thing that'll turn men and women that are lost and hell-bent and hell-bound unto the Lord is the preaching of the word of the Lord. But you know, if you just reject it and you let it run off your back like a water off a duck's back, it won't do you any good. You have to let some of it sink in. I was thinking about, you know, in this lesson that we're looking at, this whole chapter that we've read, it deals with preachers that were at fault because they were pretending something that wasn't going to come to pass. They were giving positive notes to the people of Israel, knowing that they were already perverted in their mind. And the promise these false prophets gave was false peace. And as a result of that, you'll find out many of them died before they ever got to Babylon because they refused it, and those Babylonians came and killed them. In the lesson that we're looking at, let me say to you that the Bible said that he that hath a dream, if you read this whole chapter, let him tell his dream. We live in a world that somehow or another just like wants to be in dreamland. I got to tell you, God's not interested in dreaming. God is interested in being able to preach the word of the Lord and expound the word of the Lord with the power of God, which is by the Holy Spirit of the Lord. You know, in this lesson here that you're looking at, you're going to find that people that despise the word, they just don't know the Lord. Now, when I say that I know most of you, I know most of you that are in this building right here, especially all you boys and girls. And I want to give you a word of wisdom and all of that to be able to help you along in life. Do you realize and know that whenever it comes time, and all you little old boys now, you're getting big enough to where that girls and the word girls is not a thing that makes you want to spit and gag and nasty because you can't stand them? You're going to get big enough. But I'm going to give you some instruction. Now, we got a man here back here who's going to get married. He's had a lot of instruction. A lot of it he don't pay any heed to, but he's going to. Yes, he will. Oh, yes, he will. He's going to face some things mama can't help by the pulling of them cheeks. That's going to be reality, friend. It's going to be different when all of a sudden you wake up and you think, I'm the one that's got to make the right decision here. No calling mommy now. No calling daddy now. See what I'm talking about? Now I want to tell some of you boys and a little something right here. Do you realize and know that by the blessed word of the Lord that you and I know that life is real and that we were given life by the Lord himself? And as a result of that, he wants to lead us and guide us and direct us in the truth. The word is the truth. And he wants to direct us into all the truth. And I want to say to you that, if you will, is that you can either listen to a dreamer or you can, which is most of the time a liar. There are a few people that had a dream came from God, but here's how you can tell it, it'll come true. If it don't come true, that dude's lying to you, whoever it is. You pretty girls that are here, in my word, I'm telling you right now, I'm telling you right now is that I couldn't take my eyes off that dress that Miss Abigail was wearing. I was thinking the whole time, my wife's got a truck that same color. I wonder if that dress comes in my wife's size. She'd look good driving around with a look-alike dress. And no, I'm just kidding with you, kind of. But I want to tell you right now that out of all these years, I've been with you now, what, just 31 years. Some of you have been with you even over further than that. But for 31 years, let's just deal with you. If you can't trust me by now, you're in the wrong place. I'm telling you, you can trust me to tell you the truth of God. I may not go along with what you're doing and all of that. I may not put my stamp of approval, but you can trust me to tell you the truth of God about what you can depend on me. Now, here's a question. Can I depend on you? See? People have been checking me and checking me out for now over 50 years in the ministry. You can depend upon what God said, and you have to be able to depend upon each other as well as upon me as your preacher. you can depend on me to tell you the truth. Question is, can I depend on you to do good with it and to receive it? In the lesson that we're looking at, let me say to you that, if you will, is that I realize and know that somehow or another that not everybody has had a good mother and has had a good daddy. But you know, the Bible said to honor your father and your mother. Now, all of you, the boys and girls that are here right here, got a good mom and good daddy for the most part. And if you don't have, I'll tell you what you do, is that you look towards somebody that is a good mama and that is a good daddy. But I'm going to tell you what the right thing is. One of these days you're going to come home, "Mama, I think I've got a girlfriend." "Really? What's her name?" First question. Number two, where'd she go to church? See? Number three, how come we hadn't got to meet her yet? Girls, how about you? Do you know what the etiquette thing is whenever you go to get interested in a young man? Number one, what's his name? Where does he live? Where does he go to church at? And how come he ain't met my daddy? See, what I do is that all these girls that are growing up and they getting them a boyfriend, it's my job to try to examine them and run them off. Did you know that if you've got real love in your heart, you can't quench that? Oh, you're going to scare mine off. If he can be scared off by your daddy talking, he's not worth having. Could you see somebody wanting to come, and it's going to be not too many moons down the road, wanting to sit down with some of you men, and they're already scared to death? I just wanted to get permission to date your daughter. I'm not asking to marry her or nothing like that, but how about just taking her out? I'll be good. That's right. What I'd tell this young man back here whenever he got to where he wanted to date that nice, pretty young lady right there by him, I said, let me tell you what you're going to have to do is, if you're interested in that, you're going to have to go talk to her daddy and tell her and ask him, is it all right if I date your daughter? See, it's good he practiced that. I guess he practiced that. If he didn't, he's lied about it. And it'll come back to bite you, and mommy can't help you. In this lesson, somebody said, well, you know, what if their daddy's dead? Ask their mama. See, somebody's in authority. That's just the way that is right there. I got to tell you, no doubt about that, whenever you begin to look into the Bible, you begin to find out is that I've known people, you know, before, and you'll see them every now and again, you know. How long have you been going with them? 5 years? Dump that sucker as quick as you can. He's just stringing you along for a good time. I knew within a week after that I met my wife. And let me tell you right now is that I consider it, man, it humbles my heart that she would even consider to marry me, but I'm so glad she did. And let me tell you right now is that, make no mistake about it, I knew a week after that we met, we was going to get married. If I could talk her into marrying me, we're going to get married. Now you realize that she had to grow up first. I mean, she was 14, and there I am, there I was 16. And so we had to be careful, and we kept our nose clean and so forth and on, and done what was right, and until we got older. And fact is, she wasn't old enough when I married her. But she needed some maturity in her life. Don't you know, at 16, I was a mature fellow. And I remember asking her daddy on the porch. I said, "I need to, Mr. Dykes, if you'll come out here and let me, I don't want to ask you something." I said, "Number one is we've been going together for nearly 2 years. Everything's up front and upright. Listen, there's nothing went on between us except, you know, is that we've been here, there, to the movie or whatever it is, go out to eat, but we have not involved in any kind of activity. There's nothing going on. We're not having to get married. But if you let me marry Janice, I'll love her the rest of my life." And he said, "I believe I will." Well, I mean, what is there about me not to like? You see what I'm talking about? I just wanted to say to you fellas, and I'm going to say to you gals, there's a right way and an ethical way to be able to approach with your family. Why would you want to insult your family? You mess around thinking you've got Prince Charming on the hook, and he'll be a lockjaw germ if you're not careful. You got to watch that, girls. You got to watch it. I got to tell you right now, let's work on you men for a few minutes. Let me say to you that whenever you begin to look into the Bible, you begin to recognize that, oh, there's a passage over somewhere. Where is it? In the book of Proverbs. It's over there in chapter number 24. You can read that. You know, the first thing you've got to do is you have got to believe God in the Bible, and you've got to take him at his word, and the first thing you ought to do is get established in the faith. You know, you bring me a young man and want me to talk to him. If you bring me a young man, girls, if I'm your daddy, first thing I'm going to want to know, when'd you get saved? You see that? And I'm going to tell you right now is that then not only that, who's your family? Where are you from? Where are you going to church at? And so forth and on. You know, here's what the Bible said if you read chapter number 24 of the book of Proverbs, is that you're to be established in the faith, and then you're to be established in the field, and then you'll be established with your family. Now, let me just tell you right now, I realize, that you fellas here don't have a job yet. You don't know what you want to be. Some of you gals, it's pretty much decided for the Lord. You ought to be having a man that can take you and let you be a keeper at home, but this sometimes that's just not possible like it is. But let me just talk to you men here for a minute. What is it you'd like to be in life? Oh, you don't know? Well, get off your lazy butt and start talking to God about it, and let God give you a desire in your heart about what he wants you to be. You see that? You know, I didn't want to be a preacher. I don't really want to be now. But it's what God, buddy, wanted me to be. I'm telling you right now, I know y'all are all thinking because of the fact that you're a good church and y'all have been certainly over and above board with generosity taking care of a preacher, and don't ever lose sight of that. But I'm just saying to you, it's not always been that way. You know, I've had a church where that I was getting $150 a week. And we got enough money in and got the doubling and tripling what they were giving and all that business there, and God was so good, and we were on starvation just about. And as a result of that, some of them old hardheads, well, now, I don't know. I don't know if we can afford that in church or not. And let me tell you, I have paid the price, my wife and I. So while you're looking at how good God's been, you don't know where God brought us from. And my wife didn't work the whole time. I had a man ask me this week, when you took the vow of poverty, that's a good way to put it for a Baptist preacher. He said, your wife never did work, did she? No, sir. We just believe God for what we got. I got to tell you right up front, make no mistake about it, God's been good every step of the way. I've been eating out of the hand of God since the day that I got into the world. But since the day I got born again, I've recognized it and recognized how good God's been. I want to say it to you again just so you'll know it. Some of you young men, you know, thinking about, hey, one of these days I'm going to marry me a gal that's got a good degree and a good paying job. You lazy, sorry, good for nothing little. Get that out of your mind. Ask God what he wants for you to be able to provide for your life and for your family and to do what's right in the sight of the Lord. I realize and know is that when you begin to look into it, is that here's the way it is. You better know Jesus, number one. Number two is you better have a good job, number two. You say, well, it's going to be hard for me to get a good job. No, it wouldn't. If you get off your lazy behind and talk to God about it, he'll finally give you the desire of your heart. He'll give you the desire that you ought to have, the job that you ought to have, and so forth and on. Every time I go to town, I look around. They're hiring here and hiring there. And when you walk in, the people they've already got hired need to get fired so they can rehire somebody, but they ain't got nobody to do that. See what I'm talking about? I was thinking about when you begin to look into this. You know, over there in Revelation chapter number 2 and about verse number 2, do you remember that church there? He said, there are those that claim to be apostles, and we've tried them and found them to be a liar. I had an uncle one time. He took a job, and the guy said, well, all I got's a painting job. And he was out there, a bunch of big old, those tanks, you know, that had oil or gas or whatever reserved in them. And man, there's been one big tank after the other, and ladders going up them and this and that. And he said, can you paint? Oh, yes, I can paint. This is my drunk uncle I'm always bragging about. He said, I needed a job so bad, I just told him, yeah, I could paint. When he came back out there later, he said, I had a few runs bigger than a person's body running, you know. And the guy looked at that and he said, where'd you learn to paint? And he said, right here on this tank. Well, no, you hadn't. See? And I want to say to you that, if you will, please, is that all down through life, you know what you're going to have to do is? You're going to have to learn to be able to be a good listener. And I'm not just talking about let it go in one ear and out the other ear and zoom over your head like you're a third grader and can't read. Let me tell you right now, what we tell you in life is try to help you and exalt the Lord and exhort you to be able to do what's right in the sight of God. Are y'all getting sleepy now? Because if you are, if you've got already digest that, y'all lay down. There's three pews. It's empty. Lay down and get you a little nap and all that right there. That's probably why you don't know anything more than what you're doing. Yeah, you see what I'm talking about? I'm always asking these fellas here, you know, hey, how you doing? I'm here. Well, he's not the only one that does that. I'm here. Well, I can tell you right now is you can polish up on your fly killing a little bit. And God knows I love you to death. Now, is that slobber right here that I'm looking at? Because I don't want to slip down when I get ready to leave. What is that right there? Huh? Is that where that fly blew his nose when he left there? Because, buddy, that looks rough. We got any Kleenex over there? Well, let's get one or two of them and just lay it over that. It looks like a wad of water that you ain't got to touch it. We'll clean it up later. Just throw them down on it. That's right. Everybody, oh, look at you. God bless you, my friend. Tell me that he don't know what he's doing. He does. He certainly does. Mm-hmm. Let me say to you that when you begin to look into this Bible, you begin to recognize and you begin to know that life is short. Eternity's forever. And I'm going to tell you what God's going to do is he's going to gauge each and every one of us by the word of the Lord that we'll give an account. Now, do you know whenever it comes time for us to leave this world, you're not going to give an account to God for where you are. You're going to give an account to God as a Christian for where you should have been since the day you got saved. You see that? And I'll tell you right now is that in this day and hour that we're living in, you want to make sure you don't come up short on this deal. In this Bible lesson we're closing up with tonight, I want to say to you that there are some proper channels. And do you know if you hide your life and hide yourself, you're not going to prosper? You know, the Bible said that if you hide sin, it's going to go against you and you're going to give an account to God for it. You ought not have to sneak around to do whatever it is you're doing. I don't care if it's watching a program, talking on the phone, whatever that it is. You ought not have to sneak around and hide to do what you're doing. And the reason being, because if you're up front and honest, you got to worry about it. And I got to tell you right up front, and I mean this, everybody in here that knows it, it's just bloody hard to make a living in the day we live in with one person pulling down a salary. I'm not telling you that it's easy. It's not. In fact, is you have to learn to say no a lot. No, we can't go out and eat this time. No, we're not going to be able to afford. No, we're going to, you understand what I'm telling you? See, we've just not learned to say no. Now, I'd hate to have to go back to living like I used to, but I bless God, honey, I can. My wife's better at it than I am. If I had to go back living like I used to live and the meager means that we had, I'd probably have myself a conniption fit. My wife would be just as calm and cool and collected. I'd say, okay, honey, go ahead and put that dress on that we went and bought that matches that one Abigail's wearing, so it'll match the truck. And we're going to ride around a while and see if I can't get rid of some of these. And you know what's going to happen? I'm going to be more depressed then because of the fact that, buddy, you can hear it sucking gas. I don't know about you, but I'm just thrilled to be a part of the family of God and to know Him. You know, when I get down and out right now, you know what I do? I think about Brother Rocky and Miss Kim. You can step on part of their, and some you may go through and you may not. But it's getting pretty close to going through. And I never, in my life, I've never seen as much work being done on a place, and I guess on the places that hadn't been worked on are now needing it and all that business there. I can't help him because I don't want somebody to be owing me or feel like if I need help. I want to say in closing tonight, fellas, I don't mean to be ugly to you because you're good men. You young ladies, I don't mean to be ugly to you. You are I think you're the cream of the crop. I think you're top shelf. But I would absolutely stand before God and lose at the judgment seat of Christ if I did not warn you ahead of time of some of the snaky junk and snaky people that you're going to be dealing with out there in the world. See, make no mistake about it. I believe the Lord's coming even nigh at the door. And when He does, I'd like to be found busily occupied about His business, but I'd be not ashamed at His appearing when He comes again. What about you this evening? As we stand to our feet and our heads are bowed, and Father, we want to thank You for allowing us to gather together like this. Now, I pray Your blessings now upon the reading of Thy word, and we thank You for the liberty from God, and we thank You for the Holy Spirit of the Lord to lead us and guide us and direct us into all the truth. Now, bless, I pray, the word to every heart. Save the soul that's nearest hell. Revive the saints of God. In Jesus' name we pray.